now that you think about it, I mean, now that you mention it, you know, I've watched documentaries on several things and several historical events. Another thing, another topic that I like is history. And, I learned about the sinking of the Titanic in 1912. But what I did not know then, and what I know now, given the fact that I am a licensed operator, and I know that CW does exist, and that people do it a lot, I did not know that Gerald McBride, who was the head radio guy on the Titanic, had actually been transmitting SOS and CQD for 2 solid hours. It got the message chain as far as New York City. But, traveling and nobody heard it. But to know that a station was in the United States monitoring that says a lot.
LZI. Well, that was the communications of the time back then. It was primarily spark gap, which you're using electrical impulses. One thing about that, part of the reason why ultimately they went off spark gap, and I know Ray Allison years ago explained it to me, and I see now why. Spark gap's very, very broadband. You couldn't legally do that today till you'd tear everything up 50 miles around you using a spark gap setup today. You just couldn't do it. But back then, that was pretty much it, and there wasn't no interference to speak up about it. About August to September of that year, 1912, when amateurs had to start being licensed. By August to September of that year, I read that, eh?
Yep.
I can't never pronounce that man's name, but I got a book on the shelf here behind me that kind of deals with the early days of radio up to 1922. Larry, KK4JBQ, he knows about it, and a few others I've talked to over here about it. It literally explains how things was then with radio communications and the very first, let's see, 22, first couple of years of broadcast, how it was in all the ships ashore, communications, the big towers, a lot of them were big loops. I mean, it goes into great depths about such as that. It's radio for everybody. I just have trouble remembering that name of him, that who published the book in 1922.
I'm going to have to get a copy of that and read it for myself. That sounds like it'd be a good book to read. Stay on the 4WWD station, I guess, station. Anybody else, let's see if there's anybody else that might want to join us. Let's see if anybody else might want to join us. Anybody out there listening would like to join the round table, come on in. Stay on the 4WWD. All right, I guess there ain't nobody on the call, man. Go ahead, Andy.
For LZI. That book, my grandmother just found it out here at the Pick and Flea Market by chance. She got it from me. It's old years I've had it. I've been through it a zillion times, I have, but... And I've told others here about it, but it explains in great detail about all that. You know, like when you have these radios like they are now, and barely a palm of your hand are so small. Now, back in that day, they had what they used for radio equipment took up whole rooms. Whole rooms of it. And you can see in that book some of the pictures where just for a transmitter, it would be in a whole room. Because the electronics of that time, by today's standards, was extremely, extremely primitive.
Did they even use vacuum tubes and radios back then? Yeah, I know a lot of the older stuff that I see around sometimes is their old tube radios. Like, did they not have tubes back then? Or were the tubes just a lot bigger?
Well, in the very beginning, tubes hadn't yet come out. That's what it's crystal. You always hear about crystal radios, and you use the signal from the station to actually hear it. It don't have any power or any amplification. In the beginning, tubes didn't exist, but I guess somewhere, judging from what I've read and all about it, the tube kind of come in sometime, I would say, the late teens, or somewhere along in there when tube amplification come in, somewhere about the late teens.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
That book will explain a lot of things for us of today that we wouldn't have. You had no idea back here. It explains a lot of things, and it has to me, too, because I mean, things like this 8900, as thin as it is, and you look at some of the stuff they was using back then for the spark gap trans, I mean, just whole insides of a shed full of gear, because it was so massive, they couldn't enclose it at that time. It was so massive. And these, a lot of ships, a lot of them were down on the long wave frequencies, they was. Down there were submarines, a lot of them operate now. And where that, you know that sets these atomic clocks? That, it operates down in the VLF frequency range. And to communicate any distance down there, you got to have gigantic wire and tire antenna system.
You say gigantic, how tall are we talking?
Talking way up in the air and a lot of miles of that. Many towers, real high up, and a lot of wires on it, which serves as the dipoles. Very similar to today's HF shortwave broadcast stations. What few still there, most of them, like I said today, here in America are commercial. Like WRMI, WBCQ, WWCR, and WTWW, massive structure.
Okay, all right. Well, wow. Yeah, I got a lot to learn, but I'm eager to learn it.
Something you can't write this down, KI4LZI, but this and here is a little bit newer equipment, but old compared to now. You ever go to watch Radio Boulevard, RADIOBLVD, radioboulevard.com, you'll go on that and you'll see all kinds of radio gear. Almost all of it is vacuum tube. And some of it dates back prior to that. Well, like I was saying about the spark gap transmitters and receivers, what was used in World War II by the military, what amateur use was after and before that, and what broadcast uses.
Well, the good thing about this repeater is that they record every transmission that is made via audio recording. So will be able to go back on my phone and I'll be able to look at it and listen to everything we've been talking about tonight, and that will be in the radioboulevard.com. All right, I will definitely check that out. Now, Andy, another thing that interests me at your radio, and I know this is probably weird to some, but not so much to others maybe, would be the emergency broadcast system, or nowadays called the emergency alert system, or when it was first in conception, Conrad. That is something that really interests me.
Well, this day and time, it covers so multiple things, I can't begin to drag you on everything now about today, but back, I read somewhere, back in about 1964, somewhere along there, that used to operate on a medium wave AM broadcast band. They used 640 kilohertz and 1240 kilohertz, but you gotta look back in 1964, there was hardly any commercial FM, no cell phones, no internet, so that was pretty much it at the time. Today, I must begin to know what all is covered now.
I had a couple of friends that told me, you know, back in the day, whenever the signal descent system would come on the air, they had radios, and these radios had a little red triangle that would light up whenever the contact system was used, and that would be really cool.
Remember, they the right many of them still left. It shows that they were called civil defense symbols. They were yellowish, if I remember right. They were called civil defense, where today it's called emergency management.
The emergency management has control over the emergency alert system.
I'm here now.
Okay, that makes sense.
In the early days, it was civil defense. Today, as you know from being involved with us over here in Pickens, it's now called emergency management today, but way back decades ago, it was civil defense. Nowadays, they incorporate any kind of emergency, no matter what kind of emergency it is. JBQ, you by here, Larry? KI4LZI. Phone call, KI4LZI, standing by.
Andy, I'll wait for him. Do you know if he's going to be coming in?
LZI, I was going to see if Larry was in here. He went through that book quite a bit, too. I don't have it right here in my hands right this minute, but two or three others in here that's been through that, and some of those that's been on that radioboulevard.com website, and too. And just like when Earhart went down in the Pacific, on that website, they've got some of the gear that they used on the aircraft carriers there, some of what they called rack. It's old tube receivers and transmitters that they used in 1937 on some of those ships. That radioboulevard.com website has that on it. It does, of the equipment that was used for that.
I have to read this book and check out that website, be able to see how radio has evolved over the years. That's impressive. I'd love to see that.
Just stationery and you can write this stuff down. That website, I know, I've got it memorized in my head. I don't, that man's name that wrote that Radio for Everybody book, it's hard for me to remember his name. It's so complicated. It is. But that RadioBoulevard.com website's very easy. Sometime where you can write it down, write that down, and check it out yourself. And you'll see everything from the vacuum tube days to back fire. LZI standing by.
Now,
that
my radio cut off for me just a second.
For LZI, if you need to get out of something, just say something. Because you need to be able to write some of this stuff down so you remember it and you can look it up.
Hold on. About to have my notepad up here just a second.
I don't have the book in front of me, and I can't remember the man's name, but for now I'm just going to give you the website. Because I have that in my head real well. Radio Boulevard, but it's RadioBLVD.com. It's a place out in Nevada where they've got all this old radio equipment. They've restored it back to the original condition. They don't sell equipment, but they've got it there for just like what we're wanting to do, look at the past, and some other people want to restore some of this old gear, and they go there to get the biography of the internals of the radio. Inside room to get the book, and I'll have to give you those with that man's name phonetically, because I can't say it. I got to go over to the other side room to get it, though.
Yeah, I take the time. I got you.
The name of the book, this is the title of it. Radio for Everybody. That's the title of the book.
For Radio for Everybody.
But this is the man who done it here. Austin Alpha Uniform Sierra Tango India November, Austin C. And this last word is one that really gets to you, because I can't say it, but Lima Echo Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Bravo Oscar Uniform Romeo Alpha. I can't begin to say that last name. And it was published
1922.
History pretty much from the 60s all the way back to the beginning. It don't matter if it's amateur, military radios, broadcast, what they call entertainment radios, like my old Silvertone sitting on the other side of the room was, from 1940. They got them all. They even got a picture in there on that Red Boulevard of the kind of radio that was used in the Waltons, that Zenith 232 receiver. They even got a picture of it on that website.
Hey, awesome. Really nice. Now, the one I'm into, you know, there's a lot of radio stuff I'm interested in, but I'm thinking about the one that they used in MASH. You know that old TV show, MASH?
But it was depicting military situations, so that would come under some of the military radio gear. You go to that website and look under some of the military radio gear there by whatever year it is you're looking for. This there, even though most three-fourths of it's from World War II, but they do have various ones there from various times there. They got a sections in there just for military radios in there. What it was here in America or over in Europe.
Okay, that sounds good. I will definitely check that out. Mr. Andy, I'm about to start that Muslim toward the house. I'll still talk to you. I just can't write stuff down. But I got those two things written down. I think that's pretty much the gist of what you wanted me to write down was.
Pretty much. When I go on to those sites, like I said, I've got this book here about memorized. This book here, believe it or not, even depicted the cell phones we got. Run a scam depicting something like that and make people believe it back then, and they got suckered and got the money took from them because it wasn't possible then, but they even depicted what ultimately did happen back then. In a scam.
That's interesting.
You know, read that. You ever get where you can read that book thoroughly and look through that website real good. I'll tell you anything about RF and radios, it'll learn you a lot. It has me, because all this most is for my time too, and you'll learn a lot, a whole lot.
Hey, that's for sure. That is definitely really for sure. And, speaking of radios, I've always, when I was little, about 9 years old, all right? Now, granted, these may no longer be tube radios, but, I'm talking like radios that you would use to, listen to a broadcast in your house. Right? We was cleaning out my great-grandmom's old house, and, golly, she had ginormous old stereos, and they had the old dolls, the AM dolls, stuff like that. She had, looked like a little U-shaped, radio that she had next to her bed. That ran off of tubes. There's a lot of stuff like that there. You know, and if I'd been as old as I am now, I probably would have looked at that stuff and said, hey, don't throw that away. That stuff is history. It can be restored and used or put in a museum or something.
That's kind of what that in Nevada is. It's a museum that's out there in Nevada, and there's a small type like museum up. I don't know, remember all the details of it. Harry, I done forgot his call sign. It checks in here in the E2H group. It's up there up in North Carolina. He has more details about it, where it's at and all, but there's a small radio museum up there. There he is.
Yeah, that'd be a Harry, KC4UZN. I think I know who you're talking about.
car's escaping me, but he checks in. And there in E through H, he knows exactly where that place is, up there, where that museum up there is.
Might be a good vacation sometime. Take a couple of days off of work and fly up to Nevada. Go check that out.
With the directions from him about that, he's more familiar with the area than I am. I've been wanting to go up there, but I just never have made it up there. And he's from up there, and I know I've heard him talk about that location a time or two up there, as well as they have that museum in there, and he can best direct you how to get to it up there.
All right. Andy, I know that the military actually uses some of the handbands sometimes, or at least we can listen to them, but I'm not sure. I think it's kind of like a NARS program that you can help in communications with the military. I'm not sure that I think that exists.
You're right, it exists, it really does. They usually do that you're talking about, where you listen on their frequencies out of the handband and transmit in the handband, and they do it in reverse. They usually do that, from my understanding, in May. And we're, let's see, we're, what, the second? They probably done it probably a week or two ago, probably.
I don't know what that's about. Do you know, how much do you know about it? What exactly do they do? Is it like a training drill, or is it just for like families to communicate with their loved ones overseas?
Well, it makes amateur radio look real slack. Like, judging from others I know of that's been in Mars, on the Mars frequencies, they're strict TNT. I used to know some people. One of them's already a silent key, and another one that joined on in it now, talking about the Mars program. You do everything by the letter of the law in the Mars program. There's no... It's hard for me to explain it, but it's a whole lot stricter there in the Mars program than it is on just the average amateur frequencies here.
Hey, I'll have to look that up, but, yeah, I don't think I'll be doing that anytime soon, because I'm one of those people that like to use the radio just to rag you and talk. Yeah, I don't think they'd like me much on there.
Hell's the guy. I'm just telling you what I've heard from others, and some of the things they've told me, you usually will find some of them outside the 75-meter band, around, let's see, the handband ends at 4 megahertz. I have heard some down on 40, 38.5 upper side band. And, let's see, that's 33, 30. I'm trying to remember. I heard some up on the other end of the other band, too, at one point in time, but... It's those parts they use, being that it's government, Mars, they use upper sideband. That's the phone mode they use exclusively, upper sideband, unless, and way back they use CW, but in general they use, for phone, upper sideband, and they'll use Windlink, too, because I've heard Cliffs talk about that years ago.
I'll definitely be at least listening in to it. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff for me to do. I love it. Well, Andy, I don't want to cut the conversation short because I'm really enjoying this roundtable we're having. I just wish a couple of other hams would join in with us. I guess it's a little too late at night, though.
got to remember, your authorization only allows you to be in your part of the ham band. You can't get out on the Mars frequencies and transmit, or some of these other places I've told you about. You got to use your head, so to speak. You're allowed to use the general class privileges on the ham band. Now, I tune all around, like I said, too, and listening to all this other stuff, but you got to remember, you can't transmit just anywhere on the HF spectrum. Anywhere, shortwave HF spectrum, just in your privileges of general class. I take and tune all over the place and have learned all this stuff over the years and, you know, even out of the ham band pretty much, so that's the reason I can tell you about it, but the only time when I do any transmitting is under my general class privileges, so you just keep that in mind so you don't get in trouble.
Well, I have I'll follow the band plan, so to speak, so the band plan, the voluntary band plan is going anywhere in the HF frequency bands that I'm allowed, you know. So I'll definitely use the band plan, keep my eye open on that, you know. Make sure I'm at a 3 kilohertz above or 3 kilohertz below. And, yep, well, I'm going to go at it. Seek you later.
Well, did you hear what Chad said a while back where before he got his extra class license, he got in trouble for that? He transmitted somewhere where he shouldn't, and other hams reminded him he was out of his privileges. That's why I hope you heard that, so you don't get in trouble.
I did not hear Chad talk about that. I know he said that one time that the Mars guys got mad at him, but I think he was actually trying to be a part of that program, so I don't know for sure.
Well, at this point in time when he done this, he was only a general class licensee, and he got up in the extra class part and transmitted a little bit, and other hams reminded him, you ain't an extra class yet. He was transmitting up there in the extra class part, and he was only a general class, and that's the reason why I'm giving you a warning, you know, to be careful. I don't want you to take and, you know, get kind of forgetful and transmit somewhere, because you don't want to get in trouble over something like that. Believe me, you don't.
I appreciate that, Andy. I really do. Now, I'll make sure to stay in my general class privileges. You know, it's going to give me a lot more than what I had as a tech, so there'll be plenty of stuff within my privileges for me to do.
Like you, I tune all over down there, all over the place, not just the ham band exclusively, but you're only allowed to transmit in what your frequency privileges class license will allow, and I just don't want anyone getting in trouble by accident, you know. Chad didn't get in any serious trouble, but he realized that he better get that extra class license if he was going to transmit there anymore, and he finally did, and now it's no problem.
That's my next goal is extra. I might can get it within a month. I might not. But either way, I'm gonna focus myself on enjoying the general class portions of HF. You know, it's been I've worked for this for a long time. Oh goodness. Anyway, Andy, I gotta get going on down the road. It's getting to the point where I'm getting kind of tired, so I need to, like Chad said, practice good amateur skills and not talk on the radio when I'm tired. So, at any point tomorrow, if you want to, I'll monitor this frequency and we can chat some more. I'd love to.
said, there's plenty for you to learn. Believe me, plenty for you to learn. And so, go ahead and do whatever else you need to do there. KO4WWZ, KI4LZI, we'll write you later.
You get you some good sleep, and I'll put out my call tomorrow. I'll give you a call on 610. Just stay on 610 tomorrow, and I'll holler for you.